Just reading one of your takes on Isaiah 53. And looking forward to Messiah, Isaiah writes these words: "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not see him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he's wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering to sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." The people of God last week we embarked upon looking at how previous generations viewed and looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. What their minds were filled with when they looked forward to that event, however it was given to them. With Adam and Eve, of course, it was given in the form of words to the devil, that God would send a seed of the woman that would bring about enmity between the woman and Adam, of course, and the devil on the other side, in order to bring them back to God and bring them back into fellowship with God. That's what all the focus was about for them, because they're the spirit, of course, separated from God, exiled from the Garden of Eden, their fellowship broken, no longer allowed to go back. And so for them, the promise of the gospel is all about how they would be allowed to return to the Garden of Eden, fellowship with God. And as we were saying this morning in Sunday school, that's what the Bible brings us to, doesn't it, in Revelation? We're back in the Garden of Eden. We're back with that tree of life, and many of them, and having free access to them. So for Adam and Eve to look forward to this single if we celebrate. That's what it's all about. Peace with God. Being reconciled. Taking us being removed from the clutches of the devil and born into the embrace of the Almighty Lord. Move on from them to other generations, many generations in fact. And there are many in between that we obviously have to do in this short space of time. So we come to Isaiah. And we want to know, what did these people focus on as they went to this? And why are we doing that anyway? What we're doing is because of the way that Isaiah opens this chapter with a question that he poses. He's being sent to the people of God. But even God warns him, they're not going to listen. And so Isaiah speaks about this Messiah as being the spectacle of the people. And so he says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? We might say the same thing. In this season that we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't our response the same? Lord, to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed our report? Who cares about what we have to say? We talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, people don't want to listen. In fact, they say, stop bringing religion into Christmas. It's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about religion. It's all about Him. But we don't want to know Him. Don't put up a crash. We don't want to see that. Who's believed that? Who wants to hear? No one focuses at all upon Him. They want to rejoice in everything else other than that. And Isaiah was taken up with this wonderful message that was given to him. It was proclaimed even in the days of Moses in all the sacrifices. And yet, if anything was impressed upon them, it was the seriousness of sin and what it cost. It was through the shedding of blood. That blood of God had taken away the sin of the world. And if we were to look at this Lord with respect to conversion, it would be a very small percent, probably less than 1%, in terms of people hearing the gospel and believing, compared with all the people of the world that don't believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's discouraging. That is. This wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, we're entering into a season where that is blatantly obvious. There's myriads of things that the world wants to concentrate on. Cliches that they want to speak to one another. They're not really getting the heart. They prefer that it be kept in the back room, in the secret. You can do whatever you want, just don't bring it out into the open. It's not the same. It can affect us. It can affect our churches as well. And so we can engage in many activities. Where we really sideline the gospel. I mean, after all, there, God? He's not being sent to the nations of the world. God didn't say to Isaiah, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It was to the people of God. It was to Israel that he was being sent. These words he's speaking about the Israelites. What happens in the great context of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where people focus on all kinds of things, all kinds of activities, and we miss this blessedness that is ours when we hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to concentrate upon him. We have to direct our children to him. We have to direct ourselves to him. We have to direct ourselves as churches to the Lord Jesus Christ to continually bring ourselves back to that wonderful statement of Paul. For me to live is Christ. We preach Christ and Christ crucified. We don't preach Christ the healer, even though he does heal. No, we preach Christ the crucified. That's the pearl that we have. That's what we cherish most of all. The response of the world is no reason. When they look at him, they see the simplicity of this wonderful Messiah and message, but they pay no attention to it. It's not what they would expect. Why? Because the Lord didn't come as a warrior. He came as a tender plant. He came as a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness. Well, there goes on. No form or comeliness. TV is not for other people. That's radio. But they can't see. No, what the world wants to see is nice looking. Easy on the eyes. That one of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected. One little one. The world wants to hear about warriors. The world wants to hear about victory. The world wants to hear about success. The Jews wanted to hear about a leader that would rescue them from the Romans. They wanted someone that could bring power to them. They didn't want this man from Nazareth. We don't want Christianity. Not the gospel. No. Here's a Christianity that sets people free. Here's a Christianity where it's filled with people that are politically active, and we're going into all the areas of the world, and we're promoting liberation theology and setting people free from this and from that. That's what we want. If the church would embrace those things, we would listen to you. But this thing about everyone's a sinner, they need to believe it, and God punishes them, we don't want to hear that. That doesn't improve anything. So when they saw the Lord Jesus, when they saw the description of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, in the generation that he came, they paid no attention to him. If he was so insignificant, why did they spend so much time trying to trap him? If he was a ruin on dry ground and could just be trodden on why did they give him all the attention devising to put him to death? Conspiring. With all the factions that didn't get along, but they got along to get him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests.
lives of anyone. We don't need to be saved. We're the children of Abraham. Really? Aren't you the children of Adam and Eve? Aren't you the children of those people that we embraced? The devil himself? You don't need to be rescued. And then rejected his simplicity. He came in a non-threatening way. He didn't come to judge the world. He didn't come to put people to death. He came to give his life for the ransom. He came to deliver us. He came to bring us salvation. And so he's rejected, and so he's called us suffering servants. He doesn't already receive from them. He was despised and rejected by men. The man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not. How sad it is for us to fall into that trap. To take the Lord Jesus Christ for granted. To think that he is like that gift that nobody picks up under the tree. Because it's not what we know. How sad it is for God to give us this unspeakable gift. And no one has it. Who would believe that? To who is the arm of the Lord Jesus? Who celebrates? Who rejoices? Who is filled with excitement and thrilled of what God did in sending us? The far easily distracted into engaging in so many activities and doing so many things other than pointing ourselves and our children, our family, our acquaintances. That God has given to us, which is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that he gave it, and the reason that he gave it, is this. Even our substitute, said Master. Well, why? Why do we need a substitute? Well, because the problem, as we said in last week, is not only that we need to be taken out of the clutches of the devil's hands and all the influence that he has on us. That's just one thing. The people of God, when they were delivered from Pharaoh, it wasn't the end of the journey, was it? As soon as they left Israel, that's it, you're free. There was a whole other problem of them being reconciled to God. That was a big problem. That's why they had to sacrifice. That's why they had such a long journey, an arduous journey to the promised land. They needed to come into fellowship with God, not just separated from the devil, but into fellowship with God. That's the other part of our salvation. It's just not being free from the devil. Our greatest problem is that we are alienated from him. We're without hope or without hope. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring us to reconcile us. But you see, with the Lord Jesus Christ bringing that wonderful part of the gospel to us, it was not a battle, as I pointed out last week. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ battled with Satan, yes, absolutely, and won. But there's no hint of a battle in our heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't battle God, does he? Not at all. What does it say? Surely he is borne our grief, he's carried our sorrows, he has been stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have turned God astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity. We don't send lambs to war, do we? before its hearers is dumb. That is, doesn't speak. The Lord Jesus Christ said nothing as he came as our substitute to his Father. He didn't say, Lord, this is not fair. He didn't say, Father, this punishment is too much. Lighten up a little. He didn't say that at all. He didn't say, well, it's not their fault. I mean, they tried. No. Absolutely not. He came to be your husband. He came to stand before God's judgment, and stand in your place, knowing full well that the penalty of sin that we've committed is absolutely death. There's no mistaking, there's no hanging on the jury's verdict. That was clear to everyone. The wages of sin is death. The Lord Jesus Christ knew it, and yet he became our substitute. I mean, just imagine at this time of the year, your child is very sincere, terminally ill, needs a transplant, and somebody comes along and says, I'll give them the transplant. It's not a pity, it's any day off. And so the person says, well, I'll give them my heart. And then, you think we would keep silent about that? You think we'd be so easily distracted about everything else about the season and the gifts that we exchange? No, we wouldn't be able to get away from that. That's what God is doing. His son, as a substitute for you and for me. For what? To bring us into peace with God. We're not perfect, but we're pretty decent people. And God should bring peace to us without any problems. That's looking at the Lord and the Lord. The people said about Christ that they didn't want to look at him and they didn't esteem him. He was despised. But they're the ones that have been despised. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to be our substitute. You know what? That cannot be saved. That cannot fail to bring joy and into our hearts. You cannot take that for granted. And not only that, not only people need a substitute. I mean, God didn't just slap his hand and say, there you go. You know, wait, wait, and I do not think he's going to give the full penalty and realize that. No. The Bible clearly says, he who did not spare his only begotten son, but gave him up for all. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ was not some token payment. It was all the payment. It was revenge on Isaiah 40. To thank God upon him. God did not hold back. Everything that you and I have committed, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on the cross. That's what Isaiah is telling you. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was smitten and stricken by God in affliction. He was wounded by our transgressions. He was bruised by our iniquities. All the wrath of God against sin was poured out on the Lord Jesus. And it was that elicited on the Lord Jesus Christ that cry, my God, why has that forsaken me? And not to focus on that and see that as the central aspect of and the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ's coming is to do a great injustice to ourselves and indeed to the world. If we do not cannot communicate that, even though they don't want to listen.
Jews believe how important the movement of the arm of God can be.
Well, not many.
But I bet it did. And it did focus the hearts of people on these wonderful truths of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though into the future he gave his life a ransom for many. Every ounce of judgment that you and I would have suffered in hell for eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on the cross. The people who think for other were so thankful, all thankful.
It's nothing compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. But how many times have you done that?
How many times have you done it? Can you focus on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you can say, well, we've got to move on.
No, we don't. We can't move on. We'll always be there. In heaven, we'll be singing the song of salvation. If the gospel is all that to you, you have not been saved. There's no way that you can pass by the cross and say, let's get up to the Lord. You need to live this way. This is not we need to encourage ourselves with these wonderful truths of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He has sustained in his body death for us. He was dead. And you and I should do that. He took away from that. Those angels standing at the Garden of Eden with flaming swords, going with heavy weapons. The Lord Jesus Christ took you past by being slain himself. He's brought us into the holy form where we might have fellowship. This was an adventure by God which failed. No, the Lord Jesus Christ was successful. He shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Where is the God to reveal his Son and that message to be preached to the world. But it's another thing to know it, to experience it, for it to be given to us, for us to have it, and to be confident about it through the promises of God's Word. We have been saved. Christ has died for us. He has given us eternal life. How much more then should we be and the silence of proclaiming it to everyone in the world, all around, to the set, beginning with our families, to our friends, and to our acquaintances. This works. God is saying, this is not fanatic. This is not about people being so taken with these things, we can't think of anything else. It is true, we all like that, but because that's what God does. Don't let the world beat you into submission so that you act in a, you know, in a reasonable way, in the way that they expect you to. Don't get mad. How can you not get mad after all these things? Beyond our wildest expectations. The generations of the past, as I say, they were killed to be able to see those days. Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Oh, they would love to be on this side of the cross and read about everything that God done and accomplished for them. We live on this side. think about it.
There was not time to give me joy and comfort as being the very structure of that intense fact to be mine. You are for us to reveal, must be mine. This is up, must be mine. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your greatest gift to us, that we would never have imagined possible. And yet, you do it. You came with your own beloved Son of you, poured out upon him the judgment that we deserve, so that we might be reconciled to you. I fall in heaven, we thank you for this precious gift. And I fall in confess that at times we do thank you for that. And we ask that you forgive us. And that our whole life may be a response of gratitude and adoration and thanksgiving for what you have done for us. And I Father, we pray that this season, the focus of our minds on the coming of our Savior, may indeed fill our hearts with joy. And Lord, that it may fill our words with this wonderful message. All we ask that you would get our prayers, and that you would receive our prayers, and that you might receive the value of your people.